broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, given that tomorrow is officially back to school, we are keeping with the theme of education. And one thing that we've learned and perhaps observed in South Africa and beyond is that, unfortunately, typically a quality education does come at a significant cost. And what more when you are trying as a parent to give your child an opportunity to study abroad? How then do you need to invest offshore to finance an international education for your children? Shahid Mohammed joins us now as Head of Group Savings and Investments at Allan Gray to guide us on what it is we need to consider. Shahid, welcome to the show and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Good evening and Happy New Year to you too.
Thanks.
And good evening to the listeners.
Indeed. I'm excited for this conversation, Shahida. Just a moment ago, we were talking about parents feeling strain and the cost of actually taking and preparing for back to school. But the truth is, there's ways in which we can navigate around this. And investing and saving adequately over the long term can alleviate the financial pressure. But let's talk about preparing for your children to study abroad, because that's a whole nother kettle of fish that often becomes intimidating for us as South Africans.
That's right. I mean, firstly, excuse the pun, but it seems foreign to many parents who want to plan to send their kids to study abroad. I mean, we have our challenges in South Africa with above inflation, education costs increasing every year. And, investing abroad, we obviously have currency fluctuations and purchasing power parity we need to think about. So it is a bit more complex when investing offshore. But I mean, regardless of whether you invest in locally or offshore saving for your child's education, I'd like to firstly reiterate that, whether you're planning to send your child to a local university or abroad, it's important to plan for the cost of the tuition as well as other associated costs like board and lodging. Many people plan to pay education costs from their salary as and when fees become due, but the reality is, as I mentioned earlier, the cost of education typically increases every year at a rate above inflation and above the average salary increase. So if you plan to fund education through the pay and go method, as you're earning and paying fees, every year the portion allocated to school fees from your salary actually becomes greater. Because of the above inflation increases. So you need to think about starting sooner so your savings can at least keep up with the education inflation.
Exactly.
But that's even before we discuss the offshore challenges.
Exactly. And I'm glad you touched on that, because ultimately that's what we're trying to do, gain growth on our investments that beats inflation. That's when we know that we actually are performing well. But this also might get a lot of parents stuck in trying to identify an optimal investment vehicle for saving for international study costs. How do we evaluate that and assess that correctly?
Yeah. So maybe just to take one step back again, so I think there are two things parents need to think about. One is above inflation, but there's also the impact of currency fluctuations and purchasing power. So, for example, I mean, just the impact of, how the value of our rand. So if you just take the Big Mac index as an example, which compares the prices of Big Mac burgers around the world in local currencies, South Africans are paying $2.70 for a Big Mac burger in SA, while in the US they would pay $5.70. So we get a lot less for our rands in developed markets than what we do back home. And the same, again, holds true for education costs. The long-term trend of our rand against major currencies, like the dollar, shows that our rand is typically weakened, which means that it increases the dollar cost in rand terms. So, 10% weakening of the rand against the dollar will increase your education bill by 10%. So it's always best to invest offshore in the same currency as the cost you'll be paying, because your purchasing power is better protected.
Got you.
And in terms of, to your question around the optimal investment vehicles for saving for international study, I mean, firstly, there are two factors that one needs to consider. One is the product option or the wrapper, and the other is the underlying investment strategy. Right, so with regards to the product wrapper, there are a few products that one could utilize to help save or invest for future education costs. One is a traditional method of investing in an education policy, These are typically offered by insurance companies. You pay a fixed amount each month to the insurer, and in return you get a guaranteed payout at a specific time to cover school or university fees. The good thing about these is the guarantees they offer. However, you need to be cautious because these guarantees often do come at a cost and with penalties that you miss payments or you want to change the amount you contribute.
And if I can jump in there, I think this is also so important for us to be mindful of, right? So often as parents, we might think, well, it's an education policy, which comes wrapped with those titles and themes, but it's really digging into the finer detail as to where this money is being invested that becomes pertinent, right?
No, that's 100% correct. I mean, just on the product side again, I mean, the other options are the either local or for endowment. You do get the tax benefit if your tax rate is above 30%. However, you can only make one withdrawal in the first 5 years. So if you are intent paying from your investment, you know, more than once within the five-year period, there may be challenges. You also have the tax-free investments, which is kind of middle ground. They come with limits on how much you can invest. Being a maximum of 500,000 rand over a lifetime or 36,000 rand per year. The advantage, you don't pay any tax on the return. But then again, you are limited to how much you can invest in the lifetime, as I just mentioned. Typically, offshore studies can range anything from $30,000 to $75,000 per year. Mm-hmm. So the tax-free investment on its own won't be enough to sort of cover the education cost over time. The most flexible option is probably unit trust, which is also known as kind of mutual funds abroad. Mm-hmm. You can invest as much as you want, whenever you want, and withdraw whenever you need to. You obviously don't get the benefit of the tax breaks as you do with the education policy or an endowment or a TFI, but you do get the flexibility, and often you get more choice. More choice isn't always a good thing, but you do have the option of global mutual funds that you could invest in hard currencies and have the flexibility to invest as and when you want to and withdraw as and when you want to. To your second part of the question is investment strategy,
yes,
which is more important. So because you are trying to mitigate against the weakening of the rand, you should try and aim to invest in strategies that have exposure to offshore assets in the currencies of where you are going to be paying the education costs. So you can either invest in hard currency offshore funds or via a rand-denominated offshore feeder fund. You can only redeem that in rand and then pay over at the end to the various universities. However, you do get the benefit of the currency. If the currency weakens, it does grow accordingly. But what's more important is that you invest in a well-diversified portfolio, which is in line with kind of your needs, the time frame, and the risk appetite.
Got you. To close off with, Shahid, I'm reminded of our behavior when it comes to the journey of investing. And the class of 2024, if I'm not mistaken, was in grade 9 when the pandemic hit. And that's when the stock markets were in a mess, really. We saw sharp declines, sharp sell-offs, and then we saw a beautiful recovery over time. And the reason why I bring this up is because sometimes as investors and parents, we might be rocked by the shockwaves and volatility of the market and think, oh boy, maybe it's time for me to, you know, pull out of this investment or divest and reduce my exposure. Help us contextualize market volatility while still maintaining the goals and objectives that you have in terms of your investment strategy and investment outcome.
So, I mean, I think you summarized it well, Guru. So what I mentioned earlier is you will need some exposure to growth assets like shares or equities in order to achieve above inflation returns over the long term. And typically these asset classes have achieved, so we'll call it inflation, anything from inflation plus 7% over the longer term. But when you invest in these asset classes, there is a level of volatility. You know, returns, they do not come in a straight line. And there will be periods, you know, over the short term where the value of your investment drops. However, you need to be aware that it just drops on paper. You know, if you need to remain disciplined, and what history shows is that, you know, after every correction or crash, there has been a recovery. The recovery for some crashes have been longer than others. Some have been quite rapid in recovery. But it's important that you remain disciplined and you don't get emotionally attached.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So stay the course. understand what your plan is. Know that there will be fluctuations and volatility. There will be crashes along the way, you know, in an 18-year period. You know, if you're starting to save from the birth of your child, which is advised, you know, I mean, review your plan every year. Make sure it's in line with your long-term objective. And, yeah, you know, stay the course. That's the most important thing, is removing emotions from the investment.
Definitely. Stay the course. Had you reacted during the pandemic, things would be very different for you now.
Exactly.
Four or five years ago. Shahid, such a pleasure speaking to you, sir, and really appreciate you, you know, empowering South African parents to understand how we can proactively invest offshore for the opportunity to take our kids or ourselves to be educated abroad. Thank you again.
Thank you, Guggen. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you. That's Shahid Mohammed, Head of Group Savings and Investments at Allan Gray. Helping you secure your future was brought to you by Allan Gray. 50 years of long-term investing, Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.